Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with the Justin Nimmergood.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for the kind introduction today, Bruce. I've now upgraded from just first name to first name, last name, and now the first name, last name. So the, I feel like I got my my honorary badge on Instagram or something that makes me an official page now. Wow.
Well, yeah, we're adding that to the millennial gone good, and I'll sit in the smoke filled room and come up with more titles for you as the week.
what kind of smoke filled?
I guarantee it'll be some sort of a carrier based coconut oil based diffuser. So don't get too excited. No dank fumes of any dab carts here. No sir. Just good solid aromatherapy.
Good clean fun, huh?
Clean fun. Clean fun, yes. So, happy Memorial Day, right?
Yeah, happy Memorial Day. I think we should start out by saying happy Memorial Day to all our listeners out there, and
thank you for everybody's service.
Yeah, thanks for everybody's service. And I know Memorial Day, right? You know, just a bit is obviously we're honoring the fallen, right? So. Obviously, part of that is I love reaching out to those that are obviously still alive and thanking them for their service on Memorial Day weekend, which I made plenty of rounds with that yesterday and will continue to do so today in between my, meetings and discussions. But, really for the fallen, right, the hundreds of thousands that have fallen in service to give us the life, the liberties, and the freedom to be, professionals, entrepreneurs, doctors, lawyers, whatever we really want here in America that so many countries still today don't have, right? So we're very blessed and fortunate, and obviously thank them for their service and for, I guess in a way paying it forward at their time, right, for future generations to come.
Absolutely. So, people complain about America, but still the best place to be, I think. And certainly our heroes and service members, our military service members, are the working foundation of that today. So I know we're ramping up a lot of different military programs here in 2019, and hopefully those programs won't have to get fully engaged in. We'll find some peaceable negotiations with certain
peaceable
countries. Peaceable?
Is that a word?
Peacemaking? It is today. Word of the day
let's just add that to our word of the day list. I think peaceable.
I'm gonna have to get there and find a sentence and send you a DM like, there it is, I told you. Somebody's used it before in a sentence in our Scrabble game. Yeah,
we've never claimed to be English majors.
Had a peaceable solution. I'm almost sure.
Well, if something was peaceable, like a puzzle, like you could piece it together, right, peaceable. But, if it was, I think it probably is a word.
P-I-E, yeah, that one. I could see that one. But anyway, so yeah, happy Memorial Day. Are y'all gonna cook out later?
Cook out? No. Yeah, I think we will. The weather has been just not great here lately, to be honest. And not that our world revolves on weather, although it kind of does. That's part of why people live on the West Coast, is for that,
sure,
you know, always predictable weather. And oddly enough, you know, lately it's just been kind of bad weather. So here in Southern California, there, you know, especially near the beach, near the coast, you go through at this time of year when everyone's starting to kind of roll into summer. Interestingly, the coast in California gets hit with some really bizarre weather. So they call it the May, gray, June gloom
time frame. Right. Yeah. 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 I've been there for that a couple of weekends in that zone, and it was notable gray, you know, kind of a, and gloom and doom as well. So yeah, I forgot about that. Well, it's nice and sunny here, and actually very moderate compared to some places of the East Coast that are having a heat wave. So we're, gosh, I know, far be it that, you know, Dallas Fort Worth would be the garden spot of the country, but I think we're in a good spot today. So that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
That's a good
absolutely
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like 55 and rainy here yesterday. So that's pretty unpredictable, or pretty, I would say, out of the ordinary, abnormal weather. And then today's nice. So the sun's out today, but 60 degrees. So I don't mind it. Some people are like, oh, I wish it was summer. I actually kind of like that, like light jacket, not even jacket, light fleece weather, like light, you know, where you just put a light layer on over your, you know, shirt. I like that weather a lot. You know, they get it in the Bay Area quite a bit. And so when we get it this time of year down here, I love it. Plus, you know, someone that tries to be as green as I can be, you know, we're still, gosh, all year we've been on eco mode on our Nest thermostat, which is basically just means we haven't run our AC yet at all. So I'm sure that won't last too much longer. But, you know, obviously love not having to run up a several $100 AC bill every month too. Like, I know you guys are getting ready for over there in Texas.
Yeah, gearing it up, man. Gearing up for the compressors, man. getting the compressors fired up with the old school Freon and getting ready for another hot summer in Texas. So, alrighty.
So speaking of food, before we get on to some business and some other coaching stuff, but what are, because you asked me, I think we're going to do some, probably some brisket or something like that tonight, you know, with a little mango habanero salsa as the rub or as the spread. What are you guys going to be doing out that way?
Well, I know last night we were, we did the Stockyards and had the whole brisket beef ribs thing at Risky's. Really had the big, you know, Western deal going on at the Stockyards in Fort Worth. And I honestly don't know. Hopefully it's boba tea and something on the Asian front today. Something a little
lighter
on the light side. I had, be proud of me. What have I had here? I had some chickpeas that are formed into like Cheetos with a hip. Hippies, they sell them at Starbucks anyway.
Hippies,
organic.
They sell them at Starbucks now.
Yeah, but I found like a vendor on eBay. It must have been stolen or something. I bought a crate of them. But anyway, yeah, organic chickpea puffs, and this one is fajita flavor. Man, I'm telling you, it's just as pleasing of an eating experience as eating like straight Cheetos. So I know, but these are chickpeas. So it's
healthier,
like 110 calories per serving. And there's about three servings in this big old bag. So definitely 330 calories well spent, though, man. It'll last me several hours.
Not that you're counting calories or anything, but it sounds like you are.
Well, I'm going to be, yeah, I'm going on a cruise here in late June, so I'm in a month's time, so I want to not look too morbidly obese here for the cruise.
So you're going to trim down the dad bod a bit?
Yeah, gonna trim it down. So,
well, it sounds like I'm not going to be the only one put on voyeurism here soon. You're going to have to put yourself out there too.
I don't know, dude. We'll have to see. I might do. Well, work on the shoulders, man. We'll work on shoulders and up. See what we can do for the fans there. The traps are pretty dead. We'll see what we can do, but not much going on here. Just hanging on to some semblance of height, weight, proportionality. Is that a word? Proportionality.
Anyway. Well, you know what? We're gonna say for today. I think all bets are off. I think today all words are a go today.
There you go. That's right. Today's a neologism day here at Concierge Coach. So, but you know, I was thinking that if you want to, I like the buyer's journey. I've been really contemplating what we talked about last week, and you know, you've come up with, you know, two things that have struck my interest, you know, being that you talk about the story arc, and that's kind of its own thing, and then the buyer's journey, which is, I'm sure there's some collinear elements there with that, but what are you more leaning toward today to talk about? Those are two categories I want to talk about.
Yeah. We can start with, I would say let's start with story arc.
Okay.
And I'll start by sharing a bit of a story of kind of the recent last couple of days, and we'll tie that into business as well.
Excellent.
You know, so I've been on the road, surprise last couple of days, most recently with Naomi. So last week we left on Thursday. So we left, it was a really quick trip considering we went to the East Coast, which is a long flight for us. It's probably 5.5-6 hours direct. And obviously flying out east, you lose a bunch of hours. So, you know, it's a full day. You basically are committed to flying out there. You gain a little bit of it coming back. So left on Thursday night, and the purpose of the trip was we were going to visit our protégés, right?
Oh, yeah.
And our protégés are from Latvia, actually, who are here on student visas, although the one that I've been working with, his student visa is now going to be rolling over to a work visa that he's going to be sponsored for. They grew up tough times, and I guess this kind of ties into Memorial Day too, right? And just being grateful for what we have here in America when you meet people like this. You know, just came over here when they were young. They lost their father when they were 3. He died of cancer the older one was 3. I don't even know that she was probably 1, maybe. The younger girl, and just tough times. I mean, so single mother, you know, you figure growing up, just the woman is amazing, right? So her name is Karina. You know, I've had the pleasure of meeting her a couple times now. She raised 2 outstanding young children, although they're not children, young adults, I call them now, right? They're 21 and 23 respectively now. And named Nikita and Christina, and just amazing young kids. Well, unfortunately, you know, for Christina, she followed in her mother's footsteps a bit, and she had a young child when she was, I guess it'd be 17. So he's 4 years old now. His name's Gio. You know, and so you watch this. I met Nikita originally, so he was my entry point into this family story. Last summer, he came out to visit California with the intention that he was going to be able to stay and work for the summer in California. It was always his goal to live in California for a little bit longer than a week, right? Like a week is a trip, but live there, you know, a month or more. And he found a gig and worked out in California all last summer. I met him at a business networking event. And it's one of those moments where, you know, like we've talked about energy before on this show, you can quickly see someone's energy when you meet them, right? Like people that light up a room versus people that deplete the room of all the light in it. And this young man just absolutely lit up the room. He was full of energy. And I quickly knew, you know, I didn't know how yet, but there was going to be an opportunity to work together. So he quickly assumed as one of my, I would call him premier, you know, coaching students. And what I mean by that is, you know, one that I was investing the most in from a time and otherwise perspective, right? Just pouring into him, as I like to say, when it comes to coaching, right? You're pouring into these people because they show their high potential, right? And that's something that as I coach more and more people, I've learned to quickly assess. And this is no knock on people that maybe aren't quite high potential. It's just like, again, we all have the same amount of time in a day. And part of our role is to pay it forward, pay it on as coaches. And if we only have 24 hours in a day, let's say, you know, net 16 after sleep, that's 16 hours I want to spend most effectively as possible, right? But as a high potential individual, I knew this kid was special, right? And so poured into him all summer. Eventually got him, you know, involved with Fablet, which I've been working with as a sales executive, and just you know, as a way for him to make extra money. Because again, you know, he and his sister always, you know, it's like a family that's all helping each other. It's kind of a beautiful thing to watch, right? As someone that grew up with probably more privileges and more opportunities than they did, when you see this, you just appreciate life so much more. So I wanted to find ways for him to make money and not have to, you know, break the bank on his coaching program with me. So that was a natural way. Hey, you know what? If I'm going to, you know, I'm going to invest everything I know as far as knowledge and wherewithal from a sales mechanics and a sales mastery perspective, teach you the ropes, ins and outs of sales, tech sales specifically. And in return, you know, we'll give you an opportunity to go out in the market and make some, you know, waves with this amazing product set, you know, solution set, Vavilan. And sure enough, and I don't know if it was my coaching or what, but this young man closed his first deal, which historically was not happening, right? Closed his first deal with the Vablet solution within his first month in the field, which is like outstanding. Anyone that knows anything about sales, if you close a deal inside of 90 days, you're pretty outstanding. But to do it in the first month and as a 20-something year old, and with a solution set that he's never known before and an industry he's never been in before, I mean, just speaks volumes to him and his ability. And so, you know, fast forward a bit, you know, he and his sister continued to advance, continuing to grow. And Naomi ended up taking her on as a beauty coaching client and working with her from that perspective. So we're working with this brother-sister combo now. And he's since opened some other lines of business because, you know, he got the entrepreneurial bug, right? Maybe perhaps influenced by me or not, I don't know. But, you know, he has opened some other lines of business as well. One most recently with the car wash out in the Philadelphia area. So, and he's doing all this, by the way, as a student. So for all you listeners out there that give us your, you know, I get a lot of not even listeners or people that come to us and, you know, but I have this and I have that. Like, I'm sorry, but when I come across people like, you know, this young man or this young woman who literally have, you know, they have had a tough upbringing, they don't have a lot as far as resources, but they've made the most of it. They've just hustled their fucking asses off and made it work. There's little to no excuse for anyone else out there to make it work. And he's accomplishing all that and accomplished all this as a full-time student. So here's the timing thing that people, I don't have enough time. Well, here's a kid who's a full-time student that found a way to make it work, right? So this past weekend on Saturday, he actually technically graduated back in February, was his last class, but they only do a couple walk, ceremony inductions a year at his college, and Bernathan is the name of the college. So Naomi and I flew out there to see, you know, him and his sister, spend the weekend with them, their family, be a part of that, and watch him graduate on Saturday morning. And I share that, you know, story as a bit of kind of check yourself and a bit of motivation for anyone, myself included, by the way, right? Just seeing what he's done kind of makes me think, like, I need to be doing more. Like, what is holding me back, right? When you hear and you see, so you want to talk about millennial gone good, Bruce. I know we talk about that central theme here on the podcast a lot. I mean, there's two prime examples of them right there. And I think it's really important as coaches for us to stay and for us to not passively, because there's a difference between passive and active communication, right? At passive, it's easy to be passively communicating with people. I'm talking active involvement, to be actively involved with a elite, I would call it select group of our clients or business partners. And so I definitely would put them in that category for at least for Naomi and I. And, you know, when you come across these people, you just continue to find a way to stay in touch with them. I have some friends like that, and I have some other clients and partners like that too. But it's so necessary, because oftentimes, whether we believe it or not, after you've poured into them and you've given them all the tools and whatnot, when you find a way to stay in touch with them, I find myself learning as much, if not maybe even more, from him now than he probably learned from me anymore. And so it's like this beautiful synergistic relationship that then happens in a long-term basis, right? I call it the gift that keeps on giving. So that was what my weekend, Lance, again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday consist of. We had some amazing food and laughs, and I did have some client meetings out in Philadelphia while I was out there. But it reminds me that people buy people, and people buy great stories, right? So tying it into the story arc. And a good story arc, I mean, I don't know anyone that wouldn't buy a story that has the story arc of the hero's journey involved in it. And so those are two prime examples of them that I've recently encountered there. And having come across them, I became a buyer of that story and wanted to work with them. And I think that's important for everyone out there as you're working with your clients, especially if you're a coach, like Bruce and I. Some clients choose you, and that's important. Sometimes we choose our clients, right? Or we seek out or target certain clients or prospects that we want to work with. But in the most ideal scenario, our clients choose us and we choose our clients, meaning that's the true symbiotic, synergistic relationship that I'm referring to, where it just fits. There's alignment, it fits, it works, and that's where you truly can get what I call a multiplier effect out of those relationships, right? So Just tee up that for basis of discussion there, for us here for today in terms of just stories, you know, what stories mean to people, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's so humbling and you know, to see somebody who's been able to achieve those things in the midst of being a student as well, and then do business, you know, business ventures, you know, concurrently and be a student. It's an amazing thing. You know, it's that motivation is something that it is such a exercise of our free will. You know, what are we going to do? You know, I mean, everybody knows that if you exercise and do a little bit of weights and do a little bit of, you know, your body will make changes. But that chasm between, you know, the contemplating doing something and actually doing something and doing it consistently at a high level, that's a whole, you know what I mean?
Right.
That's a whole other ball of wax or whole other situation. And so like this young man, you know, that made that sale early on in his sales career, you know, not 90 days, but just kind of hit one out of the park early on, one of the first deals. And that's a good thing. And that's a great thing. And so I think, you know, that's the one thing. I don't know I guess you can coach it a little bit, but that how somebody exercises their free will into meaningful action, and that meaningful action will then produce the results, you know? And so, yeah.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is to your point, some of it's genetic and biological, and some people have a certain inner drive that others won't. What I think our role is as coaches, you know, is to coach. So again, I'll specifically tie this to the story arc, right? To best coach our students up on their story arc, right? And what I mean by that is, so I'll tell Nikita a lot, you know, okay, well, have you, like our recent topic of conversation actually was this past weekend was, okay, how are you separating yourself from your generation of income? So, you know, because he's telling me about all the success he's having now, which I love hearing, but I don't, like, stop there with coaching him. I'm like, okay, what's next? Okay, so that's great that you're having success and people are coming to you, but there's such a thing as success too fast or success that it doesn't have a blueprint to scale correctly. I said, so what's next? And so the story arc I'm trying to coach him on is, you know, you have success yourself, right? And you have success yourself in a way that you can document and blueprint your success in a way that you can then teach and train it on. Because that's really the mark of a true steward of mastery, is when you can teach and train it on. It's not when you can be, you know, exceptional at it yourself. Anyone can master pretty much anything on the planet if they invest enough hours in it. You know, I've heard figures like 10,000 hours or something like that to master a particular skill or craft. So anyone can technically master anything. But the true mastery comes when you're able to then multiply yourself, right? Duplicate yourself by teaching and training it on, right? And now we're getting into biblical principles of, you know, becoming a fisher of men and whatnot. But that's really what we were designed to do. So I've been really pushing him to do that. And I said, your story, and this could be, by the way, a literal story or a figurative story, your story is only as good as your ability to teach and train it on.
Otherwise, it just dies right there in the moment.
That's right. That's right.
Right. So passing a legacy.
Mm-hmm. Passing a legacy. Yeah. So a story arc, right? So I'm like, so imagine, you know, Nikita, right? Your story, it's like, you know, you're growing, right? You're growing, you're building the story arc as we speak, right? You're getting the accolades and success under your belt, right? Check. You're getting the certificate of college education completion. Check. That's great. So it's building. I said, but think of yourself as like a stock that's going to go IPO. You don't sell until you know you're going to hit, you know, oil, right? You're going to strike oil, or you're going to strike while the iron's hot. And your iron's hot right now, but you haven't hit that peak yet. And I don't know that we ever do, by the way. So I say this with the subtle reminder that, you know, peaking, I think we're always designed to grow and improve. But I mean, for whatever this story arc is, ask yourself where that peak is, and build to that, work backwards from your goal. And then that's where you either sell or merge or diversify and pivot to something else. And that's the story arc that people, you know, love to buy into, right? I mean, people buy and read anything from sultry novels to personal development and everything in between. And why is that? Because they want to imagine themselves in the driver's vehicle of that person's life, accomplishing, you know, or achieving what they're achieving, living that life. And all we're doing is trying to translate that to reality by coaching them along the way.
Right. Right. Action by action, you know, looking at the mechanics there. So I think, you know, I think that's a good point, you know, whereas some of the stuff like Tony Robbins, I think motivates people, right? And it gets them kind of hyped and energized. And yet those same people need to execute, you know, execute on that feeling and emotion that they get, you know, from hearing presentations and getting fired up and stuff like that. So it's that combination.
And I think that's, by the way, why people like Tony Robbins and Gary Vee and some of these other guys get a bad rap, is because people say, oh, they're false prophets, or they're just cheerleaders that will want to brainwash you. And to me, like, I look at some of the people that go to these Tony Robbins events. So admittedly, I have not been back to a Tony Robbins event since those initial three that I went to, and then made the decision to change my whole like life and career plan. I have not been back to one. And it's not because I don't believe in him. I'm a huge proponent and advocate of him. I listen to him regularly. I'm still bought into the philosophy and blueprint and whatnot. But I was a massive action taker. Some people need way more reminders than that. And that's why you see them, you know, they call themselves the junkies or the groupies or whatever, the Tony Robbins groupies. You know, because, and they're constantly going back because it's just like a big hangout for them. It's like, I didn't use it that way. I used it as a tool to learn what I need to take the action I needed to change my life. And so I just share that with everyone. Friendly reminder.
I think there's a lot of people that go to 12-step meetings, AA or OSA or whatever, an alcoholic, and then they go for a couple of years and they learn life skills. They learn how to deal with problems with living. They learn the balance and relationships and how to manage urges and cravings, and have made subsequent shifts in their paradigm, you know, to go from a person that's a drinker to a person that's not a drinker, you know, with all these other things in the midst. And they don't go back to Alcoholics Anonymous because they don't, you know. Some folks, you know, it was good and it helped them get on the journey, but they don't necessarily have to be, you know what I mean, reminded of that journey. I mean, even church is just usually one day, you know what I mean? So a week, it's not, you know, something that, right. So even Robbins talks about, I'm not your guru, you know what I mean? And he, in defense of him as a person, but he does what he does, and certainly people need to take that first step. And that's the thing I like about coaching, is that we're just not charging and firing up people. We're walking people through the coals. Like, we're walking them through the process. And then, like you're doing with this young man, you can reboot and walk him through his next chapter, you know. You know, what's next? Okay, and then walk him through those actions and events. So
it's so necessary. You know, I do wish I would have kind of tapped into this much earlier in life, but again, we're all meant to when we're meant to, right? You know, it happens when it's supposed to happen. But you know, think about a lot of the life situations with, if I would have had a Sherpa, a tour guide, a coach much earlier in life, and this is above and beyond, like, you know, your dad or your, you know, because I go to my dad for coaching on certain things, but I wouldn't consider him like a, you know, my coach, quote unquote, right? he might coach me on certain, but he's not like my go-to, you know, guy for all this. But having someone like that in your corner is so invaluable. And you know, I'm sure your clients all feel that way about you, right? Like, where would they be without Bruce as their tour guide through life and through their particular challenges that they're dealing with?
Yeah, they'd certainly need a tour guide. You know what I mean? Whether it was myself or another competent person, but yes, I hear what you mean. You know, and we kind of need that. So, so that's one of the good things about being in this role in this capacity is being there with people and helping people achieve kind of their own greatness, you know. It's just super fun to see, and you know, like you said, this young man you're working with sounds like he's really on a great path, you know, and hopefully that'll just, you know, expand and it'll just be kind of fun to see what he grows into, you know, as he grows and as he matures and has, you know, as everything changes, I think, you know, you have to be nimble and pivot and be thinking. And so it's, especially in today's world, man, you just, it really isn't rest for the weary, you know,
right.
You have to be pretty damn nimble. I mean, the landscape of business is changing seemingly every 6 months, you know. I don't mean to sound like a boomer, you know, like, well, I can't believe it. Can you believe I can get socks now online that are my own shoe size? Who would have thought? You know?
That's funny.
I know, right? It seems like every problem now is being solved, you know, by buying socks your own, you know, your own shoe size to briefs that whatever, you know, that match the circumference of your testicles or something. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, you can buy all this stuff, man, tailor made, everything is, you know, and it just comes right to your door. So, et cetera, et cetera. And such as, you know, such like with these startups and man, oh, so yeah.
It's
crazy.
You know, and so, you know, when we talk about just again specifically story arc, right? Because that was your initial question, was around story arc. The concept of story arc to me was first introduced by the editor of my book, Entrepreneurship. And you know, what she helped me understand is like, hey, it's you might have wondered in grade school, you're building to the climax of the story, right? The climax of the story where either the protagonist is going to take out the hero or something to lead to the downfall or to lead to the, or maybe it's not a downfall, but to lead to the next chapter or the next book or the whatever. And you think about it, think about each of us, we're really the authors of our own life. And that's what this concept boils down to. Whether you're actually a legitimate author or not, and most are not, then that's fine. But imagine yourself as the author of your own life. How would you know, what story would you want to write? Right? Exactly. Or act out. That's what this boils down to with the story arc. I just wanted to make sure everyone understood that we're not necessarily talking about an actual story. Or an actual story that you've written, but it's much broader than that in its definition.
It's a process, and yeah, and you are the most important part of that process because you're the one, you know, you're the one making the decision to act or not act, you know, and you're right. I mean, that I deal with a lot of people on the mental health side, right, that are victims or feel like they're victims. And I mean, sure, maybe they have been victimized, but what is the story, you know, from there? Do you want to live a life where you're kind of the victim and you have no control or no, you know, you're just wandering from bad day to another bad day, choosing to see the bad in days versus writing another story. What story would you write? You know, what would you like to have? And then helping people get toward that positive process, you know? So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And well, speaking of mental health too, I was going to reach out to you yesterday, but just kind of took a chill day yesterday afternoon after church and everything. But we went to a mental health symposium for a couple hours yesterday out here on the West Coast. So some really fascinating stuff going on here in California, which I'm sure is quite different than what you're seeing in Texas there. Just wanted to plug in and kind of hear and learn about it, right? Because, you know, I feel like every state, really even every city, probably has their own unique way of handling mental health. And you know, having known, you know, the Nimmergood family for quite some time, that they have their own way of wanting to deal with things, right? And let's just say that I have been pretty adamantly, extremely adamant that I am not going to be a big proponent of, you know, just popping pills for this or that. And so, you know, I wanted to just tune into, hey, what's going on in our community out here? Interestingly, there's abundance of resources. You know, you just have to plug into the right networks, right? And so I just found it interesting because, you know, good old Ralph and Melora, they have their own version of how the world should be. And, yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people just don't know that there's other options. They don't know that there's, you know, behavioral options. There's homeopathic, naturopathic. I mean, it's, you know, it's 2019, man. There's a lot of different ways to skin mental health cats, you know, except for a few. I mean, you know, there's a couple that probably need some solid plug and chug psychiatry, but I mean, even still, how long that psychiatry would last, so or needs to be on deck. But so yeah, you're you know, did the mental health thing just talked about different networks, or what did it feature?
Well, so they brought in a guest speaker. Her name was and she's also an author, credited author, Aaliyah Joy, who author, speaker extraordinaire, to just talk about her journey, but also talk about the broader mental health, I guess, illness industry as a whole. And right. How it's really changing before our eyes. And I'll be honest, this kind of ties into healthcare too, which we're not going to get off on that too much today. But I feel like a lot of the traditional insurance companies, pharma companies and whatnot, they're scared right now because millennials and the Gen Z, like my brother's age, I think they're mm-hmm. Gen Z technically or whatever.
Yes.
We're sharp and we're rebellious little fucks. And we don't give a shit that things have been done a certain way for so long. We've, you know, because the YouTube generation and whatnot can get information so fast out in the hands of the mass audiences. I think it's causing a lot of friction right now, you know, in traditional businesses, traditional, again, ways of doing things, that is definitely causing disruption in this industry, or this space, I would call it, right? So it's interesting to hear all the alternative options out there and just, again, stay well informed about it, because I'll be honest, I've, you know, seen both sides of the coin, and as someone that, you know, had my fair share of pills I was prescribed to growing up, I just don't think that's, again, that's my personal belief. And for those out there that are listeners, you know, more power to you. I would only suggest that there's now an abundance of resources and knowledge base out there that it does no harm for you to learn about alternative ways, alternative options and ways of doing old, you know, ways of doing things out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we went through a thing in the 80s and 90s of better living, you know, better living through chemistry. And now that we're able to really understand about food as medicine and other things and just, you know, like I said, just other options. But, you know, to be mentally healthy is important because it helps you with the story arc. It helps you, right? I mean, it's
100%.
It's a great platform to be on if you're mentally healthy as you're receiving coaching or coaching or what have you. And so, yeah, I think, you know, I think that's a component, an important component to this. So I know somebody I'm coaching right now, their company is going, he's trying to sell a company to several buyers, and they're doing the whole due diligence, you know, process now. And it's with different things and, you know, getting this client to, you know, take time today and be with family and stuff like that. Cause you know, you get too spun out on these business deals, and it can cause a sense of mental unhealthiness. You get too spun out. I mean, I've done it. You know, it's easy for me to say that. I mean, I've been spun out back in the day and just obsessed with some stuff. And I think people are more, you know, willing to break those traditions, you know, like you said, with the millennials and the Gen Zs are, you know, tradition breakers of sorts, if you will. And you know, some good, some not so good, you know what I mean? But certainly when it comes to health options and not kind of just going along with, well, because we said so, you know, is an interesting take.
Yeah, and I would caution the more traditionalist view, traditionalist companies, let's just call them, or even if you're a smaller business, but you run and operate like a traditional type model, just to be careful of how, and be thoughtful, and not careful is not the right word, but thoughtful of how you're integrating the viewpoints of younger generations. At least consider it. Do not discard or dispose of those views. They are invaluable to helping progress your company to the next wave, because whether you want to believe it or not, it's going to happen. And it's always funny to watch these companies that pretend like they are. Naomi went to a Johnson & Johnson Women in Leadership, Medical Device Leadership event last week. And she came back and she's like, that was one of the most challenging events I've ever had to, you know, be at, because it was run and operated, keynote speakers were all, you know, probably what's called baby boom. She didn't know the exact ages, but, you know, older generation who were claiming, you know, hey, you know, younger generation, you don't know how anything is, you know, and like getting up on a public platform in this classroom style workshop and preaching all this. And I'm like, how demoralizing is that if you're a millennial and you're there to learn from your quote unquote elders or for senior, you know, senior leaders, and they're telling you, they're pushing you down and telling you, you don't know, rather than pulling you to say, tell me what you're hearing and seeing so we can work together. What a fucking miss. That's what I thought. What a fucking miss.
Yeah. Wow. You know. That's unfortunate. Sorry that happened. And it's only gonna go so far, you know what I mean? And if you don't, depending on what you do, you know, if you don't make those adaptations to the newer customers, right, to your longevity, you're going to be obsolete pretty quick. And
that's right.
That's why I like the crime business, because everybody wants to stay out of jail. Hey, how old are you? Okay, great. Hey, you're 20. You want to go to jail? No. Okay, it's the same. You know, same service. Anyway, just kidding. I appreciate that. But no, man, that's a little. There's some truth to that though on my federal cases, because 97% prosecution rate on that, man. That system ain't changing for a fat minute. Let me tell you that much right now. It's going to be a good 20, 30 years before some of that changes. But anyway, yeah, on some of these business things, I love to see the big ones like Deloitte, KPMG, and Ernst & Young, see how they try to, you know, freshen themselves and look millennial friendly and Gen Z friendly. It's like, you know, there's going to come a day that people aren't going to want to come into the office. And they called us in like, really? Yeah, it's called telecommuting. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How is anything going to get done? You mean people are going to work from their house or something? Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Infinitely more productive that way. You know, I mean, I am anyway, but.
Hey,
and what do I know?
Well, it's awesome, man. You know, it is what it is. It's an option. That's why, you know, you still have WeWork and spaces and stuff like that, because people still need a facsimile of an office, but they don't need the full on office experience for some folks. You know,
right. Yeah, having a nice space for partners or clients or whatever to come meet with, like, that makes sense, but. Yeah, the days of the old bullpens, and like, unless you're in a certain industry, that's walking on.
The bullpen. All right. Well, that's a good word. So I guess that's a good word to finish on, man. Here we go. That's another good show here today on the Concierge Coaches Show. Got to bat some concepts back and forth on the story arc. Always good to hear how Justin's making a difference in the lives of others, particularly through this young man. And I saw the social media stuff. Looks like you guys could be brothers or something. It was you could see that closeness there in social media. So it was a real good thing. And like you said, a good synergy there. So, well, folks, see us. Yeah. On our social media, Facebook, The Concierge Coaches on Instagram, The Concierge Coaches on LinkedIn. I'm at conciergecoach.net. And how can folks reach you?
I'm at nimmergood.com. So looking forward to connecting with everyone further, and looking forward to everyone. You know, we've been in a bit of an evolutionary, I'd say, last month. As like any good business or good venture, it's good to take a step back and kind of get some market sensing feedback, which we've been actively doing. So, you know, just stay tuned. We've got some fun and exciting new changes that are coming forth.
Yes. So yes.
Stay indeed. With us.
Yes, indeed. All righty then. Well, until next time, we'll see you here at the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.